This podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 color multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.
Every Thursday we're going to try and talk to the Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton. We're doing that today. He's on the line. Minister, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
Last week, Minister, we said we'd try and address separate issues. I spoke yesterday about a story in the Courier Mail. Now, I understand you've been in Sri Lanka.
Correct. I've just in Singapore on my way back from Sri Lanka now. So had a good meeting and lots of issues to talk about. But as you point out, there are lots of people from Sri Lankan background, from Vietnamese background, from Iranians, right across the board that we want to deal with and send back to their country of origin if they've broken the law, and particularly if they're serious offences. So it's front and centre of what we're trying to do right now.
Well, the reason I raise that, there was a story in the Courier Mail in Brisbane yesterday about a Sri Lankan man charged over a string of sexual assaults being deported. He got a suspended jail sentence, which is inexplicable, but maybe the fact that he's being deported may have swayed the chief magistrate to strike out four of the other charges. The prosecution offered no evidence and then release him, but he's been released back into immigration custody. Are you aware of this fella?
I've read through the media articles, and I've had a briefing on it, Ray. So, look, the way in which we operate is we find these people who are on visas. If they don't meet a very stringent character test, then we take them back into custody. We cancel a visa. We put them on a plane back home. And, look, my view is that people come to our country as visitors, as permanent residents, as tourists, and it's a great experience for them because we've got a great country. And if people are going to break the law, if they're not going to abide by our laws, they're not going to respect our people, then they shouldn't be in our community. And over the last 12 months, we've really increased the number of cancellations by about 300%. In fact, over the last 12 months of people that we've cancelled visas on, almost 300 in the period from July last year up until the end of February. So we're really trying to identify these people. The question really is how we can do it sooner than later. So if people have got information about people who may be here on a visa and they're committing criminal offences or they're not of good character, they should let the authorities know straight away so we can investigate it very quickly.
Given you're coming back from Sri Lanka, when this sex offender is returned there, do you let authorities know through your department why he's returning and what charges have been levelled against him and he's been found guilty of those charges?
Yes, we do. We can't just lock people up without talking to the authorities in that country. They obviously will want to put in place a response from their police. They want to make sure that this person's managed. It may be that they're wanted on charges back in their own country. And we do it fairly regularly with New Zealand. Obviously, a lot of bikies we've been able to send back, people who are involved in peddling drugs, if they're involved in production or distribution or importation of drugs, if they're the president of one of the chapters of the motorbike gangs and they're on a visa. I've really tried my best to remove as many of those people as possible. And so with a country like Sri Lanka or New Zealand or the UK, for that matter, we sit down with them, we arrange travel documents, and we return that person with their full knowledge.
I'm glad you raised that. Away from your portfolio momentarily, you'd be aware that the incoming Labor government in your home state are looking at weakening the bikie laws put in place by the previous LNP government. There was an article recently that you may have read before you left for Sri Lanka about a senior Victorian police officer saying that all the dregs from the bikie gangs in Queensland had migrated to Victoria because of their strict bikie laws in Queensland. What do you say as a federal member and a minister in a federal government about a decision that may be taken by a Labor government in your home state to rein in those bikie laws?
Well, Ray, you can only shake your head. I just can't comprehend what Anastasia Palaszczuk is doing. I mean, the bikies that we're talking about are people who aren't employed. They're not the Vietnam veterans going around on motorbikes on a Sunday. These are people who are engaged in serious criminal acts. And all of the intelligence reports that I can read, that I get my hands on as a member of the National Security Committee and speaking to the police commissioners and the heads of our intelligence agencies, tell me that all of these people involved in these motorcycle gangs, the outlaw motorcycle gangs, are in some way, for some of them, very seriously operating outside of the law. And they're involved in importation, in distribution of ice, ecstasy, of these illicit drugs. Many of them are involved in standover tactics. They are without legitimate purpose. And if we can demonstrate that, then I think those people should be removed. And I think it's good enough, therefore, given the fact that the Queensland Police have broken the back of these criminals, for the Queensland government not to cower to the CFMEU and some of their union influence and backpedal on these matters. It's just beyond belief.
It's beyond my belief as well. I know you've been away Four Corners on Monday, focused on migrant workers on farms around Australia, picking and processing fruit and veggies, and in some cases chickens, not picking them, processing them, supplied then to supermarkets or fast food restaurants. They reported workers under 417 working holiday visas by labour hire companies, ripping them off what's described as slave labour. Now, in one, Bayita Chickens in South Australia were paying these people $25 an hour. They handed the employment of them over to a labour hire company, and they get $18 an hour. Bayita are still paying $25 an hour, but the labour hire company, if you haven't seen the program, what it calls for, I think, and what it should point out to everyone, we need some sort of industry support for these labour hire companies who are obviously being operated by people who should be in jail, not running companies.
Well, that's a key point too, Ray. I mean, they're operating outside of the law. The law's very clear, and that is that people need to be paid the minimum wage, the conditions need to be met, and if they're not doing that, then they're liable to be prosecuted. I was speaking to the Assistant Minister in my portfolio, Michaela Cash, just earlier this morning, and she was talking about the action that she's taken. I think she's done a great job, and we're working with the Fair Work Ombudsman, who has a lot of powers, right to entry, the ability to investigate some of these labour hire firms, to go through their books, to look at pay slips, to make sure that they're doing the right thing. Because in the end, I think most people are abiding by the law. Employers are doing the right thing. They want to make sure that their fruit's picked before it rots on the vine or on the tree. And they want to employ these young people who are backpacking around Australia who need a few extra bucks. And if people are doing the wrong thing, the law is very clear. They break the law and they'll be prosecuted for it. And I think we should send that very clear message. And we're undertaking a number of operations already to clamp down on those that are at the margins causing the trouble.
One of your constituents sent me an email, said when you chat with Mr. Dutton today, when overseas people on working holiday visas, and I guess that's 417s, have to reapply for another year to extend it, they then have to do 12 weeks at a farm before getting another yearly visa. Sadly, I know from people I've met, they're exploited, and not just by labour hire companies. The paperwork has to be signed for them to get that second year visa, and that's where they get taken advantage of. I guess to a certain extent they know if they don't get that signature, they can't stay here beyond that first year. That's perhaps another area to look at.
Yeah, you did right, and that's a real vulnerability. So Michaela Casher, again, you know, and I think this is where her work's really going to make a difference. She's clamped down and going to require people to provide those pay slips and evidence of, therefore, that people have been paid at the right wage rates. And as I say, Ray, I mean, if people are acting in a criminal way, acting outside the law, we need the information and they can be prosecuted under the existing law. But she's been able to clamp down in this area, and I think there'll be more that she can announce, which will send a pretty clear message that, yeah, the majority of people are doing the right thing, majority of employers are doing the right thing, but we want to make sure that where people are acting outside the law, they're dealt with pretty quickly.
It appears that we have, again, an immigration minister or a shadow immigration minister, as we had an immigration minister, Chris Bowen, without any bottle. Richard Marles has said on Sky News he's committed to ensuring the flow of boat people between Indonesia and Australia never starts up again. Then he was pressed on, how do you do that if you don't turn back the boats? I mean, what happened under Sovereign Borders, under your predecessor, and continues under you, was a will to stop the boats. Now, under Labor, they didn't want to turn back the boats, and they kept coming. And the only way they stopped was being by turn back, and we haven't had a boat for that long. I don't even know to blow that foghorn anymore as one comes over the horizon. So
well,
if there were to be a change of government, it would be apparent that if they're not going to turn back the boats would start again. Another 30, 40 or 50,000 people arrive.
Yeah, well, Ray, I'll come to Sri Lanka in a minute because it was very important that we went up and had a chat to them. But I'll just convey a quick story to you. I was up in Nauru in Papua New Guinea where there's a regional processing centre a couple of weeks ago, and people up there had come by boat. I spoke to the guards up there and said, you know, tell me the one message that you get from people who are in the regional processing centre here. They tried to come to Australia by boat, but they've been held in the regional processing centre here until they can be sent home. They're not going to come to Australia. What's their key message? What do they say to you? And, you know, mate, the message was that they are waiting for the next election, and if there's a change of government, Labor comes in, they believe that they will come to our country and receive citizenship. And if I close my eyes and listen to Richard Marles or listen to Bill Shorten on this stuff, I can see Kevin Rudd. And it's not about talk. You've got to be prepared to put in place the action. And we had a huge problem with people coming out of Sri Lanka. Thousands of people came out by boat from Sri Lanka in 2012. Mm. We've been able to set up an arrangement with the Sri Lankans where we turn back boats where it's safe to do so, where we can send people home. I've got in the detention network in Australia at the moment 6,500 people from Sri Lanka that we're working through and that we want to send back if we don't owe them refugee claims. And we need to be able to work with these countries. But the countries will tell you, look, unless Australia's serious and these people are going back to villages, telling people there, don't jump on the next boat, don't pay the people smuggler because we paid our money, we got dudded, we didn't get to Australia. It's just going to start up again and the boats will restart. We've turned around boats already, which means that had they not been turned around, about 450 people would have arrived. But the intelligence agencies tell me, Ray, that if those 450 had arrived, there would have been thousands behind them because the message would be very clear again that the people smugglers are back in business. And I think there's a very clear difference between the Labor Party and us on this issue. And Mr. Marles has got huge problems with the left, the crazy left of his party. And if you don't do turnbacks, let me tell you, the boats will start again.
Okay. Two questions about your seat of Dixon in Queensland. Did many of your constituents get hammered in those storms last week?
They did, mate. The rain was unbelievable. And the contrast on Saturday and Sunday then was just clear skies and beautiful days. But just north of me up in White Roy's electorate in Caboolture, those five people were killed up there. Sadly, they'd attempted to sort of go around roadblocks and crossed the flooded crossings. And it was just terrible, terrible circumstances. But there was likewise damage, some flooding, but we copped it probably worse across Pine Rivers during the floods. But when there are big downpours like that, we do get likewise flooding and people incur damage. But the council's done a good job, and but to see people die in that circumstance is just terrible.
Albany Creek or Albany Creek?
Albany Creek.
Albany. All right. I'll remember that one. Trying to acquaint myself with Brisbane suburbs.
That's an integrity test to see if you're next to who you
I know. There are people up there at the moment waiting for me to fail that test, I can tell you.
When you back the Maroons, Kevin Rudd used to refer to them as the Maroons. I used to give it to him each time he did, but you fail that test, mate, so stick with Albany Creek.
No, Maroons it is, and I have arguments with people every year. I'm going up there to... I won't be going to Brisbane. I'm going to Sydney and Melbourne to call two games, and I'll be away for the third. But I have a feeling that just maybe, and like you wouldn't know this, but Greg Bird's copped 8 weeks for a spear tackle. Paul Gallen's gone, and now the pendulum is swinging back Mal Meninga's way, and I think Mal won't be happy to be favourite.
Well, he's a good man. I saw the match last weekend. It was pretty desperate between Australia and New Zealand. Mm. But anyway, lessons learnt. And yeah, look, I think I know Mal pretty well, and he was in the Queensland Police Force a long time ago as well. And he's, as you know, he's a top bloke, and he's got the respect of those players, and he'll pull them together. It's, you know, as we all know, it's even more meaningful than playing for your country in rugby league. So we take it pretty seriously. I was a bit disappointed with third games up in Queensland. I was hoping it was going to be before that, but mate, I think we can do it this year and get back to that eight in a row.
Well, I might tell you that I'm pushing for your coach to go because I think he should be the national coach. I think that Mal has said this morning that he would take the national job as Australian coach if it was a full-time position. And I think the time has come for Mal Meninga to be elevated to the national coach. It would mean he'd have to relinquish the Queensland role, of course. But if he wants it, I think the Australian Rugby League Commission should give it to him because I think he has been one of the great ambassadors for rugby league over a long period of time as a player and more recently as a Queensland coach of great distinction. And I think it would sit very well with most Australians to have Mal Meninga as coach of Australia.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. It's a tough decision to drag him away from Queensland, but some of the work he's done out in the communities as well to promote the game and also across the region. I mean, he's done a lot of work up in PNG and he's just a gentleman of the game, and he's a good, really, really good bloke.
You wouldn't believe it. Another proud Queenslander just walked in front of me, Alan Belford James, gesticulating, yes, Meninga should be coach of Australia as well. Of course he should. Yes, Alan, of course he should. Mr. Dutton sends his regards from Singapore. All the best to you. Thanks, Minister. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Ray. See you, mate.
Immigration Minister Peter Dutton. Well, there you go. He's no hope now. Belford and I are backing him. He's gone, poor old Mal. He won't be national coach. Now he's got us supporting him.
This podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 colour multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.